college football season and what goes well with college football events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. And then there were four undefeated teams remain in the SEC: Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Texas A&M. How will they do moving forward? We will find out. Plus, we all thought that Billy Napier's days were numbered at Florida, and once again, he pulls a rabbit out of a hat and has a huge upset of the Longhorns of Texas this past weekend. What was the fallout from the Texas loss, and how will they do this week with Oklahoma looming? We will discuss all of that on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show. And Heath Hopkins is on vacation this week, so he will not be joining me all week. However, this evening, I have a special guest co-host joining me to discuss all of the recap from week number 6, including the Texas Longhorns completely falling out of the top 25 after being ranked in the preseason poll at number 1. To help me break down all of this past weekend's action, here is Southeastern 16's own Chris Lee. Chris, how were things with you in Nashville?
Hey, things are well here, and what a weekend it was in college football. If you'd gone back and looked at the preseason polls and the ones this week, boy, there would be some questions had you not known what had happened week to week. But that is the state of college football as we are in it these days.
Chris, I want to start off by talking about the game that was here in Tuscaloosa. And yes, I know that Alabama pulled away from Vanderbilt, but let's be honest. That game was decided by two plays, and those two plays were the interception and the fumble thrown and had by Diego Pavia. They are in the red zone for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, look, Alabama, I think, is the better team. Thought was the better team coming in. Thought Vanderbilt had a chance to make it a game, which it did. The first half was about as dead even as you can get. But Alabama really figured some stuff out defensively. Vanderbilt turned it over two times inside the 10, which like Alabama did too. Ty Simpson threw a pick at, I think, the Vanderbilt 8 on the first drive of the game. But like, hey, you go back and change things by a fraction of a second. If Diego Pavia hangs on to that ball at the 4, you know, another 2/10 of a second longer, then, you know, that they got first and goal at the 4 and maybe get points there. If Ty Simpson loses that ball, you know, 1 or 2/10 of a second earlier when he's falling down, and then maybe that's a turnover to Vanderbilt's side. Both those plays went Alabama's way. Alabama ended up getting a touchdown at the end to make the spread, you know, a little bigger than the game would have indicated. But yeah, I mean, big win for Alabama. I mean, it's not often that you say that beating Vanderbilt is a big win, but I think in Alabama's case, it really was. I mean, they're a legitimately good team.
And I mean, Chris, Vanderbilt is 5-1 now. They only have one more win and they're bowl eligible again. Talk about Vanderbilt moving forward. Now, this weekend, obviously, they're on a bye week. But after the bye week, talk about what you think they can do.
Yeah, look, bowl eligible, that's the minimum at this point. Usually, that's the thing that you're striving for as you go, okay, well, how many more can they get? You know, now the fan base, even after this game, is counting and saying, hey, can we get, you know, 9 or even 10 wins? I think it's possible. I don't know that it's likely, but I think it's possible as evenly matched as the league is. And hey, look, four of their final six conference games are at home, and they don't have any more non-conference games, so that's going to help them. But, yeah, I think expectations are in a little bit different place. I think Alabama was a good litmus test. I think that showed they probably aren't like a national title contender. Not that anybody was probably expecting it, but there's, you know, Alabama showed them where they have some weaknesses. I'm interested if they can go forward and maybe fix some of those things. You know, and look, some of those were unforced errors. Stowers and Sherrill and some of those guys dropped passes they haven't dropped all year. And that was part of it too. But I'm interested to see, you know, with the week off to get a little healthier, can they go take those things that they showed as issues in the Alabama game and make them better? Are those going to be blueprints for another team to build around and maybe, you know, beat Vanderbilt in some of these games? We're about to find out.
All right. I talked about it in the open. How many more times can Billy Napier save his job at Florida? We were all sitting here looking at our watch going, all right, how much longer is Billy Napier going to be the coach at Florida? When could they make a change? I think that's completely out the door now after that incredible upset of number 9 Texas this past weekend. I did not see that one coming.
Well, I wasn't shocked. Texas has got some issues of its own. Its quarterback play has been awful. Its offense has not been good. It's not as good as the numbers look because Texas has run those up against bad teams or in the second half of games in which it was behind and teams are probably playing soft zone and stuff like that. But look, I don't think it's ever off the table. Florida's just been very inconsistent. They did get a good win against a Texas team that was struggling. But yeah, hats off to the Gators. You knew it was in there somewhere, right? Because Lagway was really good last year down the stretch. They got back Wilson, who's a playmaker. They've missed. It looked different after having a couple of weeks to sit down and figure out whatever it is Billy Napier figured out. I mean, it was always a talented team. It just had not come together for them offensively. And on Saturday, finally it did.
And Chris, I will be honest with you, Lagway to me finally looked like the Lagway of last year for the first time this season. I think he is really progressing in a good direction with that injury.
Yeah, you wonder how much that affected him, Stingray. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that was the talk of training camp that, you know, he didn't. That injury sounded like a little bit more severe than maybe they were letting on if you read between the lines. And I do wonder if it were just as simple as that, that he needed some time to heal up and get better. And I guess we're about to find out.
I know, because, hey, no rest for the wicked, because the Florida Gators go to Texas A&M this weekend. So here we go again. Another big game for Billy Napier.
I think you just called Florida wicked.
No.
Well, there's a part of the fan base in the South that would certainly agree with that.
Yes.
Seems a little harsh, but anyway, we'll let it go.
Okay. So we are up against our first break of the evening. When we come back, Chris and I are going to dive into what we think is going wrong with Arch Manning and that Texas offense that cannot get out of its own way this season so far. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for congestion developing due to an accident blocking the left and right turn lanes southbound Highway 69 at May Hinton Boulevard. Heading from Skyland Boulevard to Old Greensboro Road, it's a 6-minute delay. Also, we have ongoing construction on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road, and crews are doing tree trimming on McFarland at Campus Drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The following is a page.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My special guest co-host this evening is Chris Lee of Southeastern 16, because Heath Hopkins is on fall break with his kids down in Orlando. And Chris, before the break, we were talking about Florida and Billy Napier getting their win. Now let's talk about the team that it beat, and that was Steve Sarkisian and Arch Manning and Texas. I just cannot figure out what is going on with Arch Manning. What do you think is wrong with Arch?
Well, for full disclosure, I didn't get a chance to see much of that game. I had my eyes on Vanderbilt and Alabama and just have not had a chance to do it on the rewatch. But look, you know, the injury has been speculated for a long time. You know, some people have said he didn't play good high school competition. Maybe it's something in between. I don't know. But, you know, and to be fair, he played a really good defense in Gainesville, one that, you know, I think the failures of Florida's offense had overshadowed that. But look, you know, they haven't played good teams. And even, you know, Sam Houston State's the only game where he was really good. I mean, the mm-hmm. final stats ended up being better, I think. But they were, you know, they were down what? A total offense at half was 260-something to 80-something, yes. I think. I mean, yeah. It was ugly, and you just cannot have that in this league.
Chris, Arch Manning was 16 of 29 on Saturday. That's not going to get it done in the SEC.
No.
16 of 29.
No, and their offensive line isn't very good. They don't have the playmakers they had a year ago. I just don't see – I mean, look, they're really talented, right? They've got a lot of NFL talent, and particularly on defense. But even the defense wasn't good last week. No. I mean, no. Florida had not been moving the ball against anybody not named Long Island and put four-plus on Texas. I mean, that's now you got concerns on both sides of the ball, right? Because your offense hasn't been any good, and all of a sudden your defense was uncharacteristically terrible.
And you know, Chris, in this day of college football, here's my question. When does the hot seat talk start to ramp up a little bit for Sark? Because what have you done for me lately starts coming into the picture, especially with them losing to Georgia twice last year.
Yeah, look, they've caught the easy end of the schedule so far, you know, in their year and a half in the league. Again, I said coming the season, are we sure they're all there cracked up to be?
Right.
And Sark is a coach, because I just think, you know, and again, I saw them last year in Nashville. Vanderbilt had no business being in that ball game. Vanderbilt is an onside kick away in the last 2 minutes from being able to tie it. I felt like I saw that with Texas a lot, with all the NFL draft picks they had last year and all the ones they had on the roster, all that depth, too deep across the board. They were just elite. You know, look, they won most of those games, so give them credit for that. But it just felt like Texas could have exerted a little bit more dominance at times than it did. And, you know, this year it's played good two teams with any semblance of talent, and it's lost them both.
And did not look good or very productive in either one of those.
No, it did not.
All right, so let's get off of the Longhorns and go to another Texas team, and that is Texas A&M. And for the first half of that football game this past weekend, they struggled with Mississippi State. And one of the reasons were the penalties. Chris, your thoughts about Texas A&M and their penalty situation there in College Station?
Yeah, I mean, you could see Mike Elko's frustration at certain points of that. Like, you know, sometimes in basketball we joke there's a lid on the basket. It seemed like there was a lid on that end zone for them in the first half. And, you know, credit to Mississippi State for some of that, but some of that was also penalties and self-inflicted wounds. But, you know, even with that, they beat a pretty good Mississippi State team pretty handily. Even, I'd say, leaving some meat on the bone, the defense was really, really good again. Allowed, 214 yards to a pretty good offense.
Yep.
That team is getting better every week, and I think it's one of the more complete teams in the league, if not the country.
And, Chris, let's talk about it from the Mississippi State perspective. In my opinion, Mississippi State's defense did what it could until it just basically ran out of gas, because Mississippi State's offense just kept putting them in bad situations. And when I mean bad situations, I mean three and out, punt, put them back on the field. So you knew eventually if Mississippi State's offense couldn't start to move the football, that defense was going to wear out, and that's ultimately what it looked like happened.
Yeah, that's usually what happens in the SEC. And when you got a big physical team like A&M that can crash you with a couple of backs and a big and experienced offensive line, that is usually a recipe for things you don't want.
Okay, so Chris, there's another game that we want to discuss, and that was, well, actually, I don't want to discuss it, but we have to, and that, of course, is Georgia and Kentucky. Man, what has happened with the program up there at Kentucky. It seems like ever since the NIL and the transfer portal has come in, it has just really sucked the life out of that Mark Stoops and that Kentucky program.
Well, I mean, it didn't immediately. They benefited from some transfers and had some good teams a few years ago, but those days feel like they're long ago. Yeah. Look, it is a school where basketball is a priority. That's always going to be what gets the resources first. You've heard Mark Stoops talk about it. But look, they've had, what, four offensive coordinators in 4 years now. They can't seem to find the right quarterback in the portal. When you've got that much discontinuity between changing quarterbacks and coordinators every year, you better be an elite offensive coaching staff, and his specialties defense. It just feels like it's going nowhere right now. Their defense is good enough. It's not great by any stretch. It's better than their offense. That allows them to compete in spots. And they did compete against Georgia for a bit. And look, they had the ball before halftime. They were down, I think, 21-7. They had a chance to maybe punch in the score and couldn't. If they do it there, it's, you know, they're down 21-14 and they get the kick to start the second half. But they didn't, because they're just not that good on that side of the ball. And, their defense isn't good enough to bail them out for the failures of their offense. And that feels like that's been the recurring theme for the last few years.
All right. And Chris, going outside of the SEC, there is one team in particular that I want to talk about. That was the preseason number 3 team in the country, who is now unranked, the Penn State Nittany Lions. They lose to Oregon in double overtime at home last weekend. Then James Franklin takes his team to the Rose Bowl this past weekend on Saturday, and they lose and get dominated in the first half by an 0-5 football team, UCLA. And Nico, the former Tennessee transfer, how much longer do you think James Franklin has at Penn State? Because I think the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I don't know what the buyout is there. I mean, look, James, to give him credit, he's been very consistent. Like, they may not win the big games, but he's always got them winning 8, 9, or 10. And that doesn't seem like much till you don't have it anymore. But, man, everybody knows his record against top 10 teams. It's been abysmal.
Yeah.
Penn State did not hire him to go to the Outback and Gator Bowls without competing for a title. I mean, that's fine in your off years. It's not so fine when things aren't going well. That loss was stunning. UCLA had not led in a game all season until that one. And it led the whole way in that one. I think it was 28-7 at half. But, hey, the complaint, you knew this would be the case, right? Anytime you get teams traveling to opposite coasts with early kickoff times and all that stuff, the body clock had to be messed up. But there's no excuse in losing that game. And by the way, the Big Ten had no qualms about cashing those checks the first time around. So I don't really feel sorry for any of them too much.
That's correct. All right. So, Chris, that is going to wrap up our recap of week 6. When we come back, you and I are going to dive into week number 7 and discuss some of those matchups. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. Chris, can you give me another 10?
Yeah, I can give you 10.
Okay.
And then I've got to go record some stuff.
Okay, cool.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the Zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Alabama football is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Two Dimes, Taco Casa, Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa, Mary's Travel Center, Catfish Heaven, Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department, Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, and Townsend Honda.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide.
100.9. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening and special guest co-host is Chris Lee of Southeastern 16. And Chris, when we turn the page to October the 11th, which is week number 7 in the SEC, we've got quite a few games in the SEC. The only one that is out of conference is Ole Miss and Washington State. But when you look at the schedule and the slate, which game interests you the most?
Were we limiting it to SEC only?
SEC, yes.
Yeah, I think Alabama-Missouri, I know it's the 11 o'clock game, but I just think that's fascinating. Both teams are exceptionally good at playing keep away from the other one. Missouri's run 80 plays to 50 for its opponent this year. I don't know if I've ever seen a discrepancy like that. Now, look, we're 5 games into their schedule, and the tough part is to come, but that's amazing. Alabama, that's how it beat Georgia. That's how it beat Vanderbilt. Ty Simpson is playing an extremely high level. I'll watch Missouri. I feel like that team really passes the eye test, but the tests are not coming nearly as tough for them so far as what's to come, starting with Saturday.
All right, so how do you think that one plays out? Early prediction, Bama or Missouri?
I've got Alabama just because it's proven more, but I don't think anything in this game would surprise me. I think it's possible we're sleeping on the idea that Missouri is really good and maybe elite, but you just do not know until they play somebody of Alabama's caliber. Now, fortunately for Missouri, it is getting this at home, and that's the other thing. They've got to go on the road and play some teams. That still hasn't happened for a couple more weeks, but or maybe next week. But, yeah, I mean, I think this one is really, really intriguing.
All right, the Red River rivalry between Oklahoma and Texas. And this game lost a little bit of pizzazz because Texas lost last weekend. Oklahoma, Texas, how do you see that one?
Well, I mean, I've got some concerns about both teams offensively, especially if John Mateer can't go, and I don't think that he will. Michael Hawkins is a serviceable backup. Which has some value. That doesn't seem like much until you don't have one of those. But look, Texas just, I don't trust them offensively at all. I'm concerned that the defense leaked last week. Oklahoma's defense might be the best unit in the league if you take offenses and defenses as 32 units, I could argue Oklahoma's is the best. Texas has been elite too, but it wasn't elite last week. And I'm just concerned about the cracks I saw there against Florida. Give me Oklahoma regardless of the quarterback. But I mean, this might be a 13-10 type of game.
All right. Last Sunday, which was a week ago, Sam Pittman was fired. This past weekend, Arkansas was on their bye week. The first game as the interim head coach for Bobby Petrino will be on the road at Tennessee. Tennessee opened as a 12.5-point favorite. Arkansas and Tennessee, break this game down for us.
Well, you know, Arkansas is going to move the ball, and it has moved the ball. And Tennessee's defense has given up 29 a game. There's going to be a ton of plays in the game. And Tennessee, though, is going to have – the coaching staff will have this team's attention after what happened last year in Fayetteville. I think the question for Arkansas is how much of a change does it make defensively? Where they are – I said that Oklahoma might have the best unit in its defense of all the units in the league, both sides of the ball. Arkansas' defense is probably the worst unit in the league of the 32 units, both sides of the ball. So can that get fixed? They had some turnover in coaching and coordinators. Maybe that helps a little bit, but I'm just concerned Arkansas is not good and deep enough on the front seven to withstand all the plays that Tennessee throws at you. You know, Tennessee jumps on you early and often, and I think that's what's going to happen here.
All right. There is a night game, and the primetime game on ABC is Georgia at Auburn. Georgia opened as a 3.5-point favorite. Auburn desperately needs a win after losing to A&M and losing to Oklahoma. They are coming in off of a bye week. Auburn or Georgia, break that down for us.
Could see it being close just for the same reason. Auburn's defense is really, really good. But Auburn just can't throw the ball. And that's a real problem in this league. It cannot get the ball to two terrific playmakers. And you know, Auburn's Jackson Arnold's been sacked a ton of times. Georgia doesn't really get after the passer, but he holds onto the ball so long that that's possible. I just don't trust Auburn and Hugh Freeze enough right now. Again, I think it'll be close because Auburn's playing pretty much everybody close in terms of quality opponents. But I just don't think they can get it done with such a deficiency in their passing game right now. Although, look, hey, Georgia's giving up some big chunks downfield. So if they can, look out. Could be interesting. It could even be an upset. But I just, you know, to me, one of the first things I look to is quarterbacks. And one of the next things I look to is head coach. And I think Gunnar Stockton and Kirby Smart both got significant advantages in this one.
All right. Let's move to Saturday night under the lights of Death Valley. And I'm going to tell you right now, based off of the performance earlier this year, I don't think South Carolina can go in there and pull off this upset of LSU. Your thoughts, LSU, South Carolina, and LSU opened as a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you. That feels like a big ask, you know, but let's go to Florida. Maybe getting Lenore Sellers a couple weeks off, some time to reboot the offense under Mike Shula, maybe that helps a little bit. Their defense has been a little better than expected. They're getting a lot of their touchdowns on defense and special teams. LSU just hasn't been able to score at anywhere near the level we thought, but same thing for them. Garrett Nussmeier's been said to be hurt. Maybe if he heals up and gets closer to 100%, if that was the case, he certainly got the weapons, you know, on in the receiving core and a Caden Durham at running back. So I've got some questions about both teams, but hard to bet against LSU at night.
All right. And the final game, Chris, the Florida Gators, they just beat Texas. Can they make it two in a row against a Texas program? This time they got to go on the road to Aggieland and the 12th man. Florida and A&M, and A&M, shockingly, is only a 7.5-point favorite. Break that game down for us.
Yeah, look, with what Florida did last week, I think it puts upset back on the table. But Texas A&M has just been so consistent. It is getting better running the ball. It is getting better defensively. you know, maybe the one thing you'd like to see is a little bit more efficiency in terms of completion percentage with Marcel Reed. But right now, this feels like one of the more complete teams in the league. I think it's a big spot for A&M, firmly within playoff contention, would be in if you picked the playoff today. Give me the Aggies at home in front of 108,000 plus.
All right. And Chris, as we walk out the door through the first 6 weeks of the SEC season, who do you have right now making it to Atlanta for the SEC championship?
Feels like Alabama is your best bet. I think they're the betting favorite right now. They're not going to be an underdog in any further games as I see it now. You know, Missouri on the road will be a test, but you got Tennessee at home, LSU at home, Oklahoma at home, Auburn on the road for what that's worth. And I think Ole Miss is another one where you're looking ahead and Ole Miss is going to be favored maybe in every remaining game except for two. That would be Georgia and Oklahoma, but those are going to be super close. They're both on the road. Oklahoma may depend on whether Matera is back right now. Those feel like maybe you're two. Well, A&M would be in there too. Let me take a quick look at this because A&M has not lost a conference game. It's not lost any game. Going to be a slight dog at LSU, although I'm not sure about that. A slight dog at Missouri. We'll see about that one too. I don't know, man. You've got a gaggle of teams that I think are going to end up at 6-2. Like, watch out for Missouri. If Missouri wins this weekend, they might be in the driver's seat to get that other spot to Atlanta. But right now, I would guess we're looking at Alabama and Ole Miss. But, you know, I have a feeling that one of those, you know, you could have a five-way tie at 6-2. And I have no idea how the tiebreakers would sort.
And Chris, it is such a shame this season that we aren't able to see A&M and Ole Miss. That would be must-watch TV.
Well, there's a lot of games I feel that way about, which is one reason I'm looking forward to the 9-game schedule next year.
Chris, look, man, I know that you are on a time crunch. I appreciate you being my special guest co-host this evening. Go and enjoy covering all of your SEC stuff for Southeastern 16. Catch up with you next week, okay?
You bet. Thank you for having me.
All right, so guys, I really do want to thank Chris Lee right there for being my special guest co-host. I have one segment left with you guys, and what I'm going to do is we are going to discuss what I really enjoy bringing you guys, and that is a little bit of history in college football. We will go over college football history for October the 5th, which was yesterday, and then October the 6th, which is today. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, finishing it up with some history of college football after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Mike Dettillier, WWL, the big 870. We'll talk to Brooks Austin. We'll break down college football. We'll look ahead to the Missouri Tigers on a Southern Alehouse School Prediction Day, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or or thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond, you can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. South on Highway 69 from Mitlary Road to McFarland, it's an 8-minute drive. And it's looking pretty good west on McFarland. From Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 12-minute drive. Construction on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road. And long-term road work on McWright's Ferry Road is being extended to Rice Mine Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
As never a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. I thought I would finish up with you guys talking about a little bit of college football history, and not only college football history, but college football history that has to do with the Alabama Crimson Tide as well. I'm going to begin on October the 5th, which was yesterday. And Alabama historic football moments on October the 5th include the Crimson Tide defeating Ole Miss 22-7 in 1929, a victory that occurred on the same day that the new stadium in Tuscaloosa, which is now Bryant-Denny Stadium, was officially dedicated by Governor Bibb Graves. So the brand new stadium in 1929, which is now Bryant-Denny Stadium, was officially dedicated by Governor Bibb Graves on October the 5th of 1929, and Alabama defeated Ole Miss 22-7. Now, when we move to 1963, Alabama secured a 21-14 win against Vanderbilt. This game is notable because Joe Namath being inserted into the lineup in the second half and connecting with former Alabama head coach Ray Perkins for a touchdown, helping secure the victory. So Joe Namath hooked up with Ray Perkins for a touchdown to help Alabama secure the victory against Vanderbilt 21-14 on October the 5th of 1963. And in 2024, unfortunately, Alabama had a stunning upset. Vanderbilt beat number one ranked Alabama 40-35. So that is what happened in Alabama college football history on October the 5th. Now, when we move to October the 6th, which is today in college football history, the main thing that happened was the fifth down game, which happened on October the 6th of 1990. The number 12 Colorado Buffaloes defeated the Missouri Tigers 33-31 in a wild finish that was permitted by officiating error. Imagine that. The controversy. On the final drive, the officiating crew mistakenly gave Colorado a fifth down. And on that fifth down, a last-second touchdown pass gave the Buffaloes the win over Missouri. The aftermath of that, the highly controversial play, still cast a shadow over Colorado's season after it went on to share the national championship with Georgia Tech. So that happened on October the 6th of 1990. Now, when we move to 2007 on October the 6th, there was a major showdown in 2007 between Tim Tebow and Florida and the LSU Tigers there in a huge matchup. And if you guys will remember, the very, very gutsy Les Miles went 5 for 5 on fourth down on the final drive to drive LSU down the field for the game-winning touchdown against then Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow. So LSU defeated Tim Tebow and the Gators on this day of 2007 there in Baton Rouge when Les Miles went 5 for 5 on calling fourth down conversions in the second half, and a couple of those came on that final drive that took down the Florida Gators. So, guys, that is going to wrap up this edition of the Stingray Show. Hope you guys have thoroughly enjoyed it right there with a little bit of history of college football. And then also Chris Lee joining me to be the co-host for the evening. When I come back tomorrow, I am going to be previewing for you guys the Alabama and Missouri matchup this weekend, as I will be bringing on two people, one from each team, to discuss that matchup. That is on the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and we will see you then. The reason that I'm cutting it short is to make sure that Tide 100.9 does not cut me off mid-sentence like they did twice last week for other shows. So just want to make sure that my entire show does get in without rudely being cut off mid-sentence, and we will catch you tomorrow evening right back here on the Stingray Show. Hey, you looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabama1.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama 1, 1 together. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Mike Dettillier, WWL, the big 870. We'll talk to Brooks Austin. We'll break down college football. We'll look ahead to the Missouri Tigers on a Southern Alehouse School Prediction Day, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today. Score!